I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Let's sing that one more time as Brother Aaron comes forward to minister to us.
I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Amen. Key of C. It's number 663. And this is for Brother Donnie and Sister Joyce.
When pangs of death seized on my soul, to the Lord I cried, till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. As Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with the Lord. And instant with a courage bold, I stood upon his word. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh, Satan said my Lord was gone and would not hear my prayer. But praise the Lord, the work is done and Christ the Lord is here. And I would not be denied, I would not be denied, till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Yes, I would not be denied, I would not be denied, till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied.
Amen. Let's sing that one more time as Sister Orr comes to minister.
I would not be denied, I would not be denied, till Jesus Christ came and made me whole, I would not be denied. The crowd was great, but she knew she had to reach him, for this was her last hope of ever being healed. She pressed on through until she touched his garment. Oh, right then and there, her miracle was fulfilled. There's a miracle. He's working even now. Your prayer has been heard, and the answer's on the way. There's a miracle in the making for you. But still, you've heard no answer. Has your faith grown weak, and you feel you're all alone? Keep on pressing on until you touch His garment. King for you.
Let's turn to page 6 and sing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus."
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect.
I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy. Shining in the light of your glory. Amen. Pour out your power and light. You love him. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy. Holy, holy. And I won't. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Just take a look around. Because you can see if you got eyes of faith, you can see real good. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn back to Romans 8, and then we'll go to Ephesians 1. Romans 8, Ephesians 1. Remember, now the Lord willing, be questions and answers Wednesday, or questions and comments. So whatever you think about what we've been preaching, then write it out. If you're not going to be here, turn it in. We'll try to cover it or whatever. Then Brother Forney will be with us for the weekend ministering. And then Bible study will be on the first Saturday in November. Brother Joe Green will be with us on the 9th of November. Then we're having our Thanksgiving time together, on the 20th or whatever. 20th, I think Terrence announced it there. And then the fellowship meeting, it will be, I think, the 19th. That will be down at Six Flags at Brother Tony's. And I think those are basics of the announcements. But anything else? Right. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your great name. We just ask you to help us, Lord, to walk in the light of your grace and be led by your love. Forgive our sins and guide us, Lord, and keep us. We know our old voice is messed up this afternoon, Lord, and just help us and guide us, Lord, to give us enough energy and things to be able to speak from our heart what we would think you'd have to be said, and just have your way. Guide each one. Forgive our sins. Cover us by the blood. Remember the sick among us and just touch each one. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction, so we believe you. Guide each one of us and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And if you have not receive the spirit of a bondage. Now, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which are the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. What about the great apostle Paul groaning and waiting? Because he knew it was all paid for, but he knew it wasn't done. Right. Okay. Now let's go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse and pick up the thought for today, all right? Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us, what? The mystery of his will. What is the mystery of God's will? To adopt us. That's paragraph 89 of the adoption series. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now watch the redemption. How far does it go? All the way through into heaven, right? Because it's in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, what? After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit. Notice it. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, which what? Is these bodies. Unto the praise of his glory. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now we will try to get through this afternoon on this series that we've been calling Adoption, and try to get on Wednesday and have comments and questions and things. And so you feel free to ask questions involving what we've been talking about. But now, what have we seen? Or what have I tried to teach you? I believe the cornerstone was the alive word. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? But now there in life, look at the situation. There in life, he as the position where he was the very headstone to Israel. Right? He didn't come to them as the cornerstone. He came as the headstone. All right? John came to introduce him. But in the fact that, you know, the scripture had already said he'd be rejected, then it would have to turn from that headstone to a cornerstone. We know he was the headstone, the cornerstone, all the stones. He was everything. But he could only make himself manifest to Israel as to what, you know, I'm talking about the bride of Christ now, as to what they could believe and see. So then he was the cornerstone because the word was made alive in human flesh. But then as he was rejected, then that cornerstone stepped over into the church, not as the headstone, but as the cornerstone. Because that could all he could make. See, the headstone become the cornerstone, then it become over into the situation of the apostles were built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. All right. Now, then in being that, see, then we know there was something then that was left off. And the prophet covered it over and over that the headstone hadn't come yet. What? Now, then coming down, see, if we believe that, it wasn't back there. But I believe it had to come into manifestation or has to somewhere to finish all this up. Right? To finish the entire plan of redemption He would have to come back. And the prophet said, in the church, it was the cornerstone standing in the gap. He said, in the full church, it's the headstone. All right. See, then it's looking, and I want you to watch it. It's looking down to this age. Because this is the only age of the full manifestation. Now listen, if you agree, I don't ask you to amen, I just ask you if you agree that Jesus Christ could not manifest himself back there as the headstone. Right? He was that. He was all of it. But he couldn't bring it into, what you call it, full futrition or being, because it was rejected. All right. But the cornerstone would be the Word of God. All right. But it wouldn't be the entire full Word, because the seven seals was there. And that's just the best way for me to say it to you. As we were trying to this morning, Jesus there in Matthew 5 or somewhere in there, it said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. All right. Then he had had 3.5 years of tutoring. And I hope you caught what I was giving you. As the prophet said it, he said, sometimes the Father would speak. He said, sometimes Jesus would speak. What was that? Tutorship. Right? He was being tutored. But then when you come to the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father never spoke anymore. Because it said, hear ye him. In other words, I've come down. See, I just hit parts what I could this morning. But see, what was being said? God was saying, I have come down. I've lived with you on earth. I've manifested all of these things to show you who I am. But said, now, it's coming to a situation that you're going to have to believe. And he said, unless you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. He who? Oh, Jesus, the second person. No. God himself. All right. See, then proving that he was the headstone, but that he couldn't make that manifest back there, and it would have to wait until the end time. All right. See, then in being in the end time, it would require that a prophet would come to restore back the faith of the fathers, the revelation of the fathers, to bring that back to where that you could see Christ. And Brother Branham would say it like this. He'd say, you know, it's got to be the same God. No. He said, how many gods did Israel have? He'd say, one. He said, how many gods did the bride have? One. And have you ever noticed when he went beyond the curtain of time? And all of those were hollering out, you know, and he said, I preached just what Paul preached. And all was hollering out about it because that was what they was resting on. Right? A restoration back to the original faith of the fathers. All right. See, then it would have to be that in the end time, God would have to send the prophet of Malachi 4 to not only bring the message to turn us back, but to bring the revelation of those seven thunders, as he said, 327 of the church age book. Right? See, then it would have to be. You understand my whole emphasis is put on that? It would have to be that God would have to send us a prophet. It couldn't be a denomination. It couldn't be a church. Come on. They believed down in Florida back years ago that Malachi 4 was this church that was there. They was having this great revival. They'd been in revival like 6 months. That's been about 10 or 15 years ago. And see, they believe that was Malachi 4. Because mankind, some has looked for him to come. Right? But they didn't have it in the correct way. Okay? All right? And what would be the key then to know whether Brother Branham was a prophet or not? Was you following that at the end? What's the key to know that he was a prophet? Well, he had signs and wonders. He had anointed ones that got you confused. And as I said, the Bible said, if a prophet comes and gives you a sign, and it comes to pass, but he take you to another god, do not hear him. Anointed ones, right? So what was the evidence that Brother Branham was a prophet? And you can see what I said to Brother Moat when he told me. He said, of course, you know the whole story. The Lord had showed me that I believed her. Was the Lord opening up my eyes to at least part of the scripture that there'd be two prophets come before the end of the world. I saw that in the Baptist church and reading the Bible. But I couldn't get it straight. Now, I knew about Luke 1:17. I knew the scriptures on that. I could follow Isaiah. I could follow him 42 or what is it, the one standing forth, the voice. And I could go through that. But I couldn't follow the other part. And I told Brother Moat, you know, you believe that God sent a prophet? I said, would you explain, you know, how? I said, you explain Malachi 3, and he did, because I knew that. I said, well, this man knows what he's talking about. So now what about this Malachi 4? And he said, well, said he was a prophet, promised to come. And he said, Brother Dale, I've seen, he told me about Brother Tatum, which I knew Brother Tatum, the Tatum family, we'd always know them. And he said, we've seen the dead raised. Said, we've seen the sick healed of everything. I said, Brother Mo, you saw it. I'm believing it. You saw it. But I said, I didn't see it. But I said, you tell me what he taught in the Bible. And I'll tell you whether he was a prophet or not. Well, I thank God I didn't run across about 90% of the things in this message that would start, you got to believe this, you got to believe that, you got to believe this. Brother Moat just started putting it in the Word. He was just laying it right down in the Scriptures. I said, thank you, Lord, I got something I can hold on to. Because I told him, I said, if he was a prophet, he'll be with the Word. Well, what about a Baptist saying that? That was way behind all of you Pentecostals. Okay. See, that makes you, oh, you're just trying to know. I'm telling you what happened. But you see, what did we find? The devil can't bring it word for word. But he can bring all kind of supernatural gifts. Even Brother Brown said, pass out supernatural gifts. See, the anointed ones, look at all the way they are. So which one are you going to today to see whether a person is vindicated from God or not? See, that's what puts you in perfect bait for the devil to go after gifts. And listen, there ain't nobody in this building believes in gifts any more than this man believes in gifts. But I also know one thing that I've taught you. There's 9 spiritual gifts. Right? And you know none of them are predestinated eternally from God? No, it's in the body. But you know the fivefold ministry is predestinated eternally, just like Malachi 4 is predestinated eternally. You don't believe that. You don't believe that one. But it's true. You tell me where it ain't. Because the fivefold ministry would be God made manifest to the people. I love the ones like Brother Branham would say. He said, will the bride have a ministry? How many of you can quote the rest of that? Will the bride have a ministry? He said, sure. She consists of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That was his answer. But you see, well, I just can't find nobody to follow. Ain't nobody trying to get nobody to follow. You follow Christ. That's the way it's supposed to be. All right, but do you see what I'm talking about? See, it would mean that this message brought by the prophet would have to be the headstone to the church, because there was nowhere else to put it. All down through the time, with the apostles and all of them, you couldn't put it there. But in the end time, it was put into a man to bring a message. And if not, if Brother Brown's message now, I didn't say him or whatever, if his message was not the headstone to the church, you tell me what it is. Oh, it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can have the baptism of the Holy Spirit every day of your life and die and go to hell. Now, where are you at? What does that do? No, that don't do away with the genuine. Because if there's a fake one, there's a genuine one. No. But see, the headstone. This, the seals then brought to the, by the prophet, as we were showing from Moses with the Ten Commandments. That there he was at the burning bush. He didn't bring the commandments. He goes out. He gets the children of Israel. He brings them out. And when he brings them out, then the commandments came. The Lord Jesus, when he started out on, hear ye him, and the message. But then he went over to Matthew 17. And then it was, hear ye him. What did Brother Brown say? Said if he's going, in other words, if you're going to hear, somebody's got to speak. So the Lord Jesus spake. Then he preached the seals in Matthew 24. Then he preached marriage and divorce in the scriptures there. He preached all of those things in the scriptures. But we didn't understand that. So we're waiting for God to send a prophet. And then here comes a prophet. He comes out to preach like we're talking this morning. And then God sends him to the backside of the desert, which is the same way he did Moses. And he adopts him. You say, I believe, that's okay. Now listen, I'm going to make this statement. I believe Brother Brown's adoption was when he went to Tucson, Arizona and met those angels. Now you can say, no, I believe it was this or that or the other. What's your basics and background or thoughts from? Well, he was this, he was that, he was this, he was that. He was a prophet. Now, I didn't say the statement that I gave this morning where the prophet said, Brother Ron said, take him out where? And visit him with an angel. Said, give him something. Well, there's where the prophet went. He went out there and he got the message and he come back. You see, why did I get into trouble trying to preach the truth? So you tell me, Brother Brandon was adopted in 55, 56, 60, whatever. I'm going to ask you why, if he was adopted, manifested son, why was he preaching error? Or the white horse rider. See, you got a problem. I don't. I'm not making it it's got to be when he met the angels, but I'm saying, after he met the angels, then there was no more error. That was hear ye him. What about, was it 64, marriage and divorce? I think he must have been somewhere adopted before then, don't you? Because there he stood and he said, I say unto you, if that wasn't the Lord saying, hear ye him, what are we supposed to believe? That his message had the answer to everything because it come down to hear ye him. You see, that's fine because we're looking at it on that basis. But now, what we got to do this afternoon, because that's where I want to run it for a minute. Because, see, now we got to find us to see who we are and what we're doing. All right? See, we can look at what he done. We can look at what Moses done. We can look at what Jesus done. We can come through that. You remember there Wednesday, or was it then when I was bringing it, or last Sunday, when I was trying to bring the scripture and show you the points, you know, that you can have this right. See, you can say, well, we know what, remember it was about the candlesticks, and we got this, we know this, and we can explain the candlesticks, we can explain the two olive trees, we can explain all them things. Why? Because we've heard. What? The prophet's message. All right. But that wasn't the headstone to just hear the word. It's when it's revealed. It is not the word until it's revealed. Am I quoting Brother Branham? All right. So then, see, we can explain all of these things. But what is the finality? Because what was it back there? To Zerubbabel. The word of the Lord. What is it that Brother Branham used? Let's see, is it a breach? Where he was using that scripture from Moses at the burning bush. Who hath believed our report? Is that the one? Excuse me, I'll get the scripture title wrong, but you remember the scripture? See? The scriptures are right. We just need God to reveal it. Right? And if I'm not right, then you show me where I'm at, or what is it, or who is supposed to bring this, or do whatever we're supposed to do. Because I want to know. My life is at stake on this. Not only as a human being in responsibility in the body of Christ to know the word, but to try to pastor a church of people. And see, if I tell it wrong, there's no hope for me. You don't understand. I'm one of them. It's the Bible speaks of, said, you stand in the door. And you won't go in. And said, you won't let the others go in. Is that what the scripture said? It puts you in a serious position not to just haphazardly play. All right, what about us? You see why we spent so much time on the adoption to bring it to the point of seeing that what? The three stages. What? The new birth brings us into the body of Christ, the spirit of adoption. All right. Then the tutorship brings you to the authority, the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. And then the last is to bring the redemption of the body. Well, all right. Now, you can show me some other way besides coming the way Paul was saying, I'd like to know. You know, that's not sarcasm, that's truth. But think about it. Why is the world waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God? May I say it this way? The prophet come and brought the message, didn't he? You don't have to agree with what I'm saying in my approach, but you do have to agree with one thing. It identically fits with the ministry of the Lord Jesus, what the prophet of God's done in the last day. It identically fits with the spirit, the ministry of Moses, the coming out, the going, the bringing the word, the bringing this and going. All right. But why does the Bible say in Romans that we read now for 14 services that everything groaning waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God? Now, do we believe the Bible? Do we believe it to be the Word of God? But do we put more value or whatever thought upon one scripture than another scripture? Not meaning that it's There is things in the scripture that goes deep, and there's straight things going across. There's different things. That's not what I'm talking about. We believe Malachi 4. Right? We believe Luke 17:30. Revelation 10:7. But do we believe Romans 8? Because it doesn't say from Malachi 4 and Luke 17:30, Revelation 10:7, that's speaking of one specific person. Right? Not a group of people, because we don't believe it that way, right? But in Romans, when it says the manifestation of the sons of God, I know I get into trouble, but you think about what I'm saying. If the Bible is right, that's for you to think about. The Bible puts just as much emphasis upon the fivefold ministry as it puts upon Malachi 4. Because it's the Word of God. Right? The Bible puts just as much emphasis. Now listen. What I mean by emphasis, what I mean by thought is, for instance, let's just don't agree with Paul and just take him out of the Bible. You can't do that, can you? Why? Because he's part of the Word. Right? And you can't take part of the Word and won't take the rest of it. Huh? See, then, if it's true, then there must be something between the bride of Christ and the messenger of Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, Revelation 10:7. And I didn't make these statements, I just quote them. That the prophet would talk about a fivefold ministry. And he would say, these young men are to take this big nuggets and break them down. Right? To the people. Well, see, how are you going to get from here to here? How are you going to get from laity people to Malachi 4? You see, we don't get all the emphasis in the right place. To make each thing, you say, oh, you do that just because you're part of the fivefold ministry. Well, does that change anything? If I am that dirty, arrogant, hateful, and untrue, and such a dirty old granddaddy of a thing, does it change the Word of God? Did it make it not right because of what I am? Because of the man that refused to go on with God? The Hebrew book. The preacher. That went out and got beer and sat down and refused to preach anymore. Did that make the fivefold ministry of no value? Knowing after all I know and the way that it's been for all the years, I honor the man. Because I guess he just got fed up. Anna's got a, used to be, I don't know what was it, school teacher or something. But anyhow, he used to be a preacher. He said he got fed up with petting babies. He quit pastoring and preaching. And started teaching school. He didn't do much good. Because he just swapped babies. You know. Right. But are you following me now? Because according to Ephesians. It says we're predestinated unto adoption. All right? Now you see where we'd be if we hadn't followed the line. You see, why did I emphasize so much and said, when I say adoption, the mind's up here on authorities and the end of the world and things. But the way we've come and proved it over and over and dwelling with it, Paul was a manifested son for the hour. Right? For the hour. I use that word for the hour because Brother Branham said, were my son, were, was it to be manifestation. But he makes a specific statement under there that shows you he knows what he's talking about. Was Martin Luther a manifested son of God for his hour? He was an adopted manifested son for his hour, but only adopted into the family. Paul and him went to a greater depth, right? You remember we proved, went through that. Paul and him went to a higher depth than just being born into the family. There's people all up and down this pyramid waiting for the coming of the headstone, love, or the coming of the Lord. I believe that. I believe there's wonderful people out there who are in the bride of Christ, but they're waiting. There's specific things to be waiting for. The world has been waiting for the end time for a long time. Right? Now, but when we say manifested sons and daughters, this is not new now. I preached this 40 years ago, so don't just get all excited about it and say, well, you coming up new? No, 40 years ago or better. I preached this same thing. Used to have the tapes for all of it. But landfill got all the 7-inch reels. So I guess they're blessed. But what about it? What is your part? May I quote Brother Brown? The Godhead's not complete without you. Right? So you know what? You've got a part. What if the world's waiting on you to get your part? Whatever it would be. To warm a pew? You know? Yeah. You know, they said that in churches where there wasn't a whole lot of people in them, there are more angels there. Well, then if there's more people in it, it pushes the angels out of the way, I guess. I don't know about that. But then you just warm a pew. You do your part. Well, don't you want to do your part? Don't you want to do your part for serving God? Whether it be deacon, whether it be ministers, whether it be song leaders, or whether it be piano players or musicians or Sunday school teachers or whatever it is. Or just warming the pew. That's part. You've got your part. Why wouldn't you want to fulfill your part? Yeah, but I just can't find nothing for me to do. Well, you know, there was a revival started by this lady cleaning the pews, you know. And said, Lord, now you bless this person who sits here. Lord, you bless. You know what? It created a revival. Who was it when Moody, was it that the one where the lady hired to play and had one little kid come to the meetings, the only one? He got converted and was Dwight Moody. According to her records before God, she's got millions of converts attributed to her. Everyone he's got, she's standing with him. Right? See, we've got our part. And we'll get to a section in a minute, so but I want you to think about it. What is the word manifest? Go ahead with number one. What is the word manifest? He's talking about, you know, sure that thou art the Christ. Because they seen the promised word vindicated, in other words. Made manifest. Make known. What is the word manifest? It's to make known. Now, you won't agree with me, so go ahead, that's all right. But you've got the laity here and the prophet over here. What's going to bring those two together to make it work? When the Bible said it's for the perfecting of fivefold ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, the prophet said it's for the perfecting of the saints. The prophet said they're to take these things and break them down. But do we put our emphasis upon that middle section to think about the importance? And hey, listen, I'm first one to say it. I have no problem. A lot of them that claim to be in a fivefold ministry, they're not in the fivefold ministry. Because according to my understanding of the fivefold ministry is the same as my understanding of a prophet. That the way you know a prophet is whether or not he stays with the word. How do you know the fivefold ministry? Would it not be the same? So if you hear all kind of words being used, you know, or thoughts and ideas coming from people called to be preachers, I look at them like I look at doctors. I don't mind talking with doctors, especially sensible ones. And I was talking with one that Nanny's going to tomorrow, talking to him one day, and I said, there's all kind of quacks in the doctor's realm. And I said, there's all kind of quacks in the preacher's realm. So we just wind up to be a group of quacks. You know, we're just doing the best we can. He just lied. But listen, the word manifest is to make something known. Now, there would go to what we're saying this morning. Now, I remember preaching this years ago. See, to make manifest is to make known. See, if you make God known, now listen to me. If you make God known to someone, I ain't talking about just laity, I'm talking about anything. You know, I'm talking about the whole thing. You sisters, you're out talking to somebody. And you make God known to that person. Will he not come behind that and make you known? That's what we're talking about, isn't it? Making known. You make him known, he'll make you known. What greater honor could it be? My wife has a good way of saying a point. She said, what could be a greater gift than somebody standing in the pulpit Sunday after Sunday preaching the word? You might not agree with that statement. That's what could be greater? You should see, you don't realize that most people are right in a trap of the devil, especially in the end time, because there's signs and wonders everywhere. And listen, I'm going to tell you what I preached 40, 50 years ago. You let the word come to the bride and her start seeing who she is. The denomination is going to raise up and start, not to try to kill you, start to try to manifest what you're doing. It's always been that way. You let a move start and the denomination is going to raise up. Try to get a move started. To manifest is to make known. See, all I've tried ever to do is make God known. To make him known. Then by making him known, see, then your true gifts will work. Did you get me? I said true gifts, because what are you going to call it? You're not calling it false gifts. You're saying that if you make God known correctly by his word, that's why I love that scripture. That's quoting while we pray, and I love to quote it. What? Talking about the Word. If you make Him known, the Word will come forth. And where's the healing at? In the Word. Right? It's in the Word. The Word made alive is the healer. See, that way then it doesn't matter who it is that says it. It's who it is that believes it and accepts it. Right? That He sent His Word among us and healed the sick. Right? See, we've got this part here, church, with the prophet, the message, and believing it. Because if we're out following all these two souls, seven thunders, Peruses, River Jordans, all these doctrines of mankind and the message, we ain't got Him right over here. Our dependence is not upon what He said. Are you with me? Any doctrine you can come up with, it's not Brother Branham over here. It's them with their ideas. Like I told you, the man this morning said it to me. We go out beyond Brother Branham. He just laid the foundation. I said, well, tell me if I pass the millennium and the future home, because he'd already preached us that far. That was as honest as I could be. Are you with what I'm saying? It's not this, but it's the real genuine message that he's brought. But neither is it this over here to be the bride that would believe anything else beside the revealed Word of God. And it's a fivefold ministry, don't come in the middle. Now I'm going to say this so you can go ahead and frown. The reason we've been here 50 years since the going of the prophet is the people of the message are not believing the fivefold ministry. I don't back up. But I've said it too. I don't blame you in a lot of cases. But that don't make it always true. Right? See, we'll get to the point because it's predestinated. Are you realizing predestination? Now we got it in here to go through, but everybody ought to know it. Predestination is what? God predestinates by His foreknowledge. Those who foreknew, He did predestinate. So He predestinates by His foreknowledge. And Brother Brown said He never predestinated to put you in a pipe, push you through the other end. That's not it. He predestinates according to His Word. You realize then that there's a group of people for each church age that was predestinated to that age. As an example, do you realize that Martin Luther could not bring the message of Pentecost? Neither could he even bring the message of Wesley. Because he wasn't predestinated. Everybody's predestinated one way or the other, right? Either reprobation or eternity. But it's predestinated by foreknowledge. That he knows what you'll do. See, then we say, well, I can't understand predestination. You know the reason you can't understand? Because you don't believe that you're right. You have questions about your own thinking. Why would you not want to believe in God's foreknowledge? And why would you not believe that His foreknowledge means He knows what you will do and won't do? Now, Brother Tom Falwell had a good way of saying it. He said, then we trigger our predestination. That was a good point, you know. We trigger. In other words, we are the ones. But see, if you're afraid of your experience, you're afraid of predestination. You're searching some idea to try to get over that thought that's within you that you know you can't exactly believe. Because, you know, you're just something wrong there. Okay. Let's get to the point. What about this? Let's go ahead. I'll get the message. And we'll have it Wednesday. You can have what you want to on it. Questions? Go ahead to number two. The Sardisian church age. And he's talking about as we overcome by Holy Spirit like he did, we will sit with him as he takes the earthly throne of David and sit and rule with him just like he did up there. Amen. With power and authority over the earth. Power and authority over the earth. You remember that this morning? We were talking about supreme authority. And Brother Branham said, ever Christian had supreme authority. You remember that this morning? It's in the notes. And there the earth is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to be manifested. God's sons. God's son. Okay. Because after all, this world was not given for God to control. Okay. Let's notice that that's right. Who is the God of the earth? Man. That's his domain. Oh. Everything in the earth is subject to the man. Through sin he fell. Through Christ's redeeming power, he comes back again. That's right, because the earth belongs to man. It was given to him, and he was the ruler over everything. And all nature's groaning, waiting for that time that when the sons of God will be manifested again. Oh my, manifestation of the sons of God. He said, I guess we better leave that alone. The whole world's waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. Okay? I'll just quote these. Surely we ought to know that God by foreknowledge predestinated a seed according to proving his word. You can go ahead and put that one up, number three. He by foreknowledge predestinated a seed for every age. Once. That would believe it. And if you'll notice in there, for each age, goes right on with the word, his word. Everything right on time. A predestinated seed. Well, there's the doctrine now. I believe I seed for the world. There goes all of that over here that's lumped into the pile. Huh? It's got to be by foreknowledge or you missed the whole thing or you predetermined it. Remember, foreknowledge, predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks to destination. Yes, but brother so-and-so, he preaches that seed, and I just feel that I'm a seed, and I just feel. Predestination by foreknowledge. He saw every member and put their name on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world ever begun. Jesus comes to seek and save that which was on that book. That's the message. The seed is there not to be heir with a shuck. Predestinated according to Christ, a mystery. There's the mystery. What? Predestinated. There's the mystery. Predestinated. They're predestinated to stand there. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ predestinated the church to that great glorious stand. Christ, a mystery. Now you realize what I'm saying on predestination. You realize what your prophet is saying. What if we, for assumptuous ways, would be able to pull out Luther out of the pyramid? It would drop and misfit. So I hope you get the point. They had their predestinated seed. Every age has had that seed. It was a predestinated seed. It's not just that we're predestinated, but they wasn't. And the same predestination for them is the same predestination for us. Oh no, Brother Dale. Not foreknowledge was all right with them, but we are the... Okay. Adoption. Tell me, my brother, tell me, my sister, when was the time that the sons of God was ever to be manifested outside of this time now? Number nine. I want to see that. want you to read it. From the adoption series, number 9, paragraph 19. Tell me, my brother, tell me, my sister, when was the time that the sons of God was ever to be manifested outside of this time? And watch it. When were there ever a time in history that the manifest the time to deliver all nature? Now, he's not saying that there's never been manifestation of sons of God. You're reading wrong. You're reading it as you want to read it. He's talking about there's never been a time for to manifest a time to deliver all nature. Paul was delivered. Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley. Each age was delivered because they were part of the kingdom, right? But there was never to be the time to deliver all nature. Nature. The nature itself is groaning, waiting for the time of the manifestation. What? And all things has been brought, coming, shaping up to a headstone, to the manifestation of the sons of God coming back, and the Spirit of God coming into these men so perfect until their ministry will be so close like Christ till it'll join him and his church together. Now, I shouldn't say it this way, but I don't care if you don't believe that God is here and manifested sons and daughters. I don't care if you don't believe it, because it ain't going to change it. It ain't going to change me. Everybody in the building, wife and children, all get up and walk out and say we don't believe it. It ain't going to change me. Because I'm not looking at it the way you're looking at it. I'm not looking at it as great signs and wonders has to be done to prove anything. But I've always said one thing. There's never been a time that there was not signs and wonders. There's never been an age that there was not signs and wonders. But we don't look at those things. What about it? What is the point? Are you getting at? The time to deliver all nature. This group right here come out of the Catholic Church called Luther. What a great manifestation of the sons and daughters of God were in that age, that they could withstand the very Catholic Church itself and walk out upon just a little thought of the just shall live by faith and turn the world upside down. Right? Facing death, facing, what is the word, excommunicating from the church, which means if you're excommunicated from the church, you can never be saved. So truly they knew about the just shall live by faith. They knew a truth, didn't they? And they stood on it. But yet, where are we at, church? So you see what he's driving at. There's never been an age that had to come like this age. Everything's groaning. Look at the trees and the things. Paul even would say, we groan waiting for the redemption of our body. That's on Revelation chapter 5. We have the earnest of our spirits groaning for the full adoption. Just coming right on down on that message, Revelation, Jesus Christ. But now we have the earnest of it. As we receive the Holy Spirit, it is the earnest of our complete adoption, our complete salvation. Oh, how beautiful. We are waiting for the fullness of adoption. This will take place when? Have you got it up? Paragraph 108. Back up. We are waiting for the fullness of adoption. This will take place when? When will full adoption take place? Boy, bless God when you see all this great signs and wonders, adoption there. That can be. But I'd rather put it where he put it. At the first resurrection. That's when our bodies will be changed from these vile creatures that we are, and we'll have a body like unto his own glorious body. For we shall see him as he is, and we'll be like him. When he appears, we'll appear in his likeness. We'll have a body like his, a glorious, glorified body, and all the trials and struggles will all fade out. I never finished that thought, so I'll put it in here in a hurry. See, when you come into the end time and the resurrection and the change, the Lord Jesus was the only one that had the adoption in the right order. Because nobody else couldn't make it manifest, right? Even Brother Branham didn't make it manifest. Now, come on. Paul didn't make it manifest. Jesus went through the whole life, right, as our example. Adopted into the family. Come to full adoption. But then come into Calvary. And then come into a glorified body. Right? In the resurrection, his body was made eternal. Do you realize then, when we come to full adoption in the redemption of the body, we'll have a body like unto his glorious body. He's already went there for us, so all we got to do is follow him. I didn't finish all of those things. But listen. Waiting for the full adoption to take place at the resurrection. Number 11, he says, we know that this will take place at the resurrection. Nature groaning. This is taken from paragraph 77 of the breach between the church ages and the seals. Everything's groaning because we realize there's something not right. We realize it's not right. Now, predestinated each age. Now, I got a note on the front to explain this. The age in the church is the same, right? The ages come up dealing with faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, you know, in the middle, but come up to where that the ages and the messengers. It comes up to build a pyramid for God to cap off, right? But according to the future, according to the stature of perfect man, and I think blasphemous names, it's necessary that the individual come the same way. Amen. Up through the ages. So you're predestinated. But you're predestinated according to what you can believe and what you can live. If not, you're predestinating on something else. That's why I said we try to make predestination as to something that God chose. He chooses you by predestination, by foreknowledge to know what you'll do. He knew that there would be a prophet in the last days, right? He predestinated it. He knows there'll be a bride that'll take that last glorious stand for a change of the body. Somebody's going to do it. All right? That's the age you and I are living in, to come to the full manifestation, right? There's not another age to come. You don't have another one. This is the last age. All right. Be in the last age. Here's where somebody's going to get a change of the body and take it all into, make sure it comes out right. Because you're predestinated. Now, Martin Luther was predestinated to the just shall live by faith. Not to bring the message of Wesley's age. The people of that age was predestinated. You say, where are those people back through those ages? Once God gave the Holy Ghost, he gives it here. The apostles had it here. Where you say, Holy Spirit. All right? Ever born again believer, baby, gets it here. People in those ages could be according to the amount of word that they heard. Some of them could have reached certain positions. I'd like to think at least the dark ages reached a good patience. Wouldn't you? Because see, you're predestinated to age. It's the seed that comes predestinated eternally from God, right? Not the person. The person is predestinated by foreknowledge. Are we still in the message? It's the seed that comes predestinated eternally. That's church age book. I've got it in here somewhere. But you ought to know that. All right? So then it's the Word that's predestinated. But we're predestinated in this age for the full Word. If you're listening to the example, Luther was not predestinated to the sanctification. He's predestinated to no justification. So he was limited the same way the disciples were predestinated, as I was trying to get over this morning, predestinated to come to the cornerstone and could teach others to come to that cornerstone. But they were not predestinated to the headstone. Somebody's predestinated. If it's going to come down to be predestinated for the full Word, then you're going to have the full Word. And I'll tell you something else. If you notice in the last days, that you've noticed it, especially in the last 10, 15, 20 years, the people of this message falling away. You ought to think about the Bible. You realize you can't fall away if you ain't somewhere to fall from. Is that sensible? You can't fall off of the church because you're not on top of it. The people has come to the end time to the opening of the Word that was brought by the prophet. And then they fell away. What's the worst part of it? It's not just falling away to sin and going back into the world, but falling away to try to destroy the prophet's message and the ministry of the prophet. What is their reward? You guess. Predestination, a seed for every age. A person to make that, where that seed could come in that person. The seed was God's word. The person was by foreknowledge that God knows whether or not you will receive it. But he knows you'll reject it. But look how close God can get. I know you don't think like this. But there was a pope back there one time that the Holy Ghost tried to come on according to your prophet. The Holy Ghost tried to come on that pope and he rejected it. He was the one that wrote the decree. It was better to kill the Christians than to not let them not serve God at all. Right. He must have been a great man. He must have been an honorable, great being for the Holy Ghost to try to come on him. Now, he didn't try to come on you, and he didn't try to come on me. We had to get ourselves out of the way. That guy must have had himself in pretty good shape. Because of some little something, he turned it down. And when he did, he was turned into total apostasy. Come on. How far off is what he wrote? That it's better to make people serve God than it is to let them die and go to hell. That's a pretty good thought. Right? You're trying to save everybody. So you just kill them. But that won't exactly line up with the rest of the Word, will it? Predestination. A seed for every age. You realize then, if that's true, and to manifest is to make known, then there's a group of people. Now you're going to differ. Go ahead. It doesn't say the prophet. The prophet's part of it. But the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God is what the world's been waiting on. You said, no, it's the prophet. We've done been through that. Come on, get off of your high horse a second. That's done happened, right? That seed has already been made manifest by an individual. Now, what's our seed? What are we to do? Why would you sit down and wait on the bus to pull up? Well, I'd sure hate to stand before God facing those in the dark ages that gave their life for the gospel in horrible situations and me stand there and say, but Lord, I was there. You could do what you wanted to. I was willing. And that's what the world is waiting on. You realize the point I'm trying to make? The world is waiting on something that has never been here before. It was only in part in Brother Branham, because that's what he said. I didn't make the statement. He said, what you've seen in part, you'll see in fullness. Where? In the bride. The world's waiting on a bride to realize who she is.
Amen.
To think about, who are we, Sister Gail? If the Bible's right, if we believe this message, if not, go home. Let's forget it. But if we believe the Bible's right and the prophet's right, then the whole world is waiting on a group of people to believe who they are. No, got to be great signs and wonders. They will be signs and wonders when the bride realizes who she is. After the door of the Gentile church is closed, he said, I'll anoint a church then. He said, God will do in 1 year what theologians tried to do in 2000. But that's where we failed to read all of it. But he said, he's doing it now. You realize, like I said the other day, when that bull got up to charge that prophet, and he didn't do it in force or a way or a, that he wasn't afraid and the bull could smell him if he was. Get all that out. He said it was love. He said he loved the bull. He said, bull, I'm sorry I got in your pasture. But what did he say just prior to that? That's where we don't want all of it said. What did he say when the bull first, he said, if I had my gun, he said, I reached for it. It was in the truck. He said, if I had my gun, I would have shot it and killed it and went and paid for it. Right?
Amen.
Why? Because that part was human. Right? But something happened that was in the Garden of Eden that the animals respected and loved Adam and them. And something happened to that animal. There you got that, and you got the hornets and the things. My way of saying it is, just for a moment, the world saw the hopes of being delivered. You say, now see, here's where we put it. Okay? I know. See, I get in trouble doing it. Here's where we put it. We put it was all Brother Branham that done. You don't realize God changed them hornets. Oh! God changed that bull! You see why I say, for a moment, nature met its master? Why? We look at it as Brother Random with the love and the thing. Amen! But that animal, just for a moment, was put back where he was in the garden. Not afraid of Brother Branham. You think it come up? You can do the same thing. I told you about it. We was up in Tennessee one day. We started walking across the parking lot. And there was a pickup truck sitting there with a big old black German shepherd, this raising cane. Some of you probably remember it. This black guy walked right past us. I was planning on going a long way around, because I was scared of him. Now I've seen Brother Tatum down at Robert Holland's, the one he had, that sucker was so tough he bit one of my tires, and I had to take it off in Jeffersonville, Indiana, because it bit the tire, the rim, I mean the rubber clean out. We had to pull the tire off. But Brother Tatum walked right by me and walked up to that dog. And he said, "Why, Blackie?" I said, "Just lay down." And that dog just... It wasn't that the dog was afraid of him. The love was there. But this black guy, up there in Tennessee, Brother Collie, you might have been there. I know there was a bunch we were standing out there. And he walked right up to that dog, and that dog just kept lunging at him. He stepped back one time. Next time, he walked straight forward. Never said a word. And he laid his hand on that dog's head. And that dog laid down. That dog was afraid. He conquered him. He conquered him. I'll tell you a trick if you'll do it. If you're ever out and a dog comes after you and you got a hat, take it off and hold it in front of you. Just don't back up. Just hold it in front of you. If you need to, walk forward. I've done it. Man hollering and screaming at me. He said, "Them dogs will get you." I said, "Uh-uh." Take your pocket knife out and switch it. I've done those things. That's what I say. I'm not talking about you can do through fear over a dog. That's the brother. You can take a whip. You can take a horse that is so mean it can't be touched or anything. You can take a whip and beat that horse, and it'll walk up to you and lay its head on your shoulder. Because you conquered him by fear. But when you get something like I was talking about Brother Tatum, he just walked right on by, no fear. A dog. See, if you understand what I'm saying, those hornets saw their master. They wasn't afraid. They wasn't afraid of him. The bull wasn't afraid of him. And he wouldn't have said, "Well, he ain't afraid of me, so I ain't afraid of him." You know? No. Love conquers. What are you getting at? There's a predestinated seed for this age. We are to make manifest that seed. Amen. To finish the plan of redemption. And see, you fear. Job said the things he feared came upon him. You fear something, it'll get you. But you stand up. Just don't fear. Right? Prophet said one day death will be coming up your arm. He said you'll brush it off. A predestinated people. Not to this great apex of signs and wonders happening. But to somebody that would believe the word. And just walk out on it. Say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you." We'll bring somebody to a change one day. And that's what the world's waiting on. Someone who does not fear death. Huh? What was the statement? It's kind of in, Brother Bam was talking about. Wasn't there something in there where he said, "Well, you know, animal, I'm on your grounds and things." In other words, he's saying, "Kill me. I was on your grounds." He said, "But then I loved him." I remember the prophet made a statement one day. He said, "I'd rather see love in a church than 5,000 people to be healed." Boy, I listened to that one over and over. Because I'd never heard nobody talk like that. But see, I kept listening. He said, "Because if you got love in the church, you'll have 10,000 people healed." Right. love for one another, then no matter what it would cost, we would die for each other. Are we to that place? Come on, brothers. I've tried to deliver to you all that I've talked about on adoption, that I believe it. I believe we're adopted in the family by the new birth. I believe there's an authority that's going to come in this last days to finish it all up. Not if there hasn't been authority. Not if there hasn't been signs and wonders of God down through all the ages, because they've been there. But you've never had signs and wonders coupled with the Word. The Pentecostals, right? They had signs and wonders, right? But they were wrong on the Word. The prophet had signs and wonders because he had the Word. That's what gets me when we look at those things and don't realize and try to say that them, like Azusa Street thing, didn't have the Holy Ghost. When those people were in love with God, the dead raised, the sick healed, great signs and wonders was among those churches. A prophet come along and said, here's where you failed. Then he's talking to people that's got great signs and wonders. He said, because you didn't go to the Word first. Is that the way he's saying it? Let's stand. You didn't go to the Word first. What we got, brother?
Page 161.
Amen. 161. Israel. Sign that the prophet. Anybody have a need? Gentile days number, borrows and cumber, eternity soon will unfold. Send these prayer cloths to our sister, to her mother and her father. We lay hands upon her, believing that you'll take care of her on the highways and on the plane, and everything will be all right. And Father, we believe you that by your stripes, her mother and dad are healed. And we can only say that and only believe it. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Anybody have a need?
Fear. Your life friend and crew. Look up, your redemption is near.
In the far away,
to be of the sky. God's church is the power that's shaking this hour. The day of redemption is nigh. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit.
Our sister has a need at work. She needs you. Come on the scene and work it all out. And we thank you for it, because it's already done. In Jesus' name. Anybody else?
God's proof that tonight,
Jesus the Christ is our God.
For this generation, God's revelation will walk with the apostles.
We ask you this week to touch our little sister. Take away this problem. Whatever it be, this problem. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Okay. Anybody else?
Your last friend and look up. Your redemption is near.
Thank you. Think about it, church. We're in the last days. We ain't got time left to run things. And who would want to stay around here another 50 years? Well, the way things are going now. I mean, I don't have no thoughts of wanting to hang around. It, you know, because everything's getting so bad. Well, we got one more.
Number 160, hold to God's hand.
But God's waiting on somebody to just take a stand.
Time
just say, I'm it. No. Signs and wonders was never the sign and the proof. The prophet of God even said it. He said, someday I'll show you them things. He's talking about the signs and the wonders that went with his ministry. He said, I'll show you they wasn't right. You know what? God used it to bring millions of people to healing. God used the signs and the wonders to bring millions to salvation. But he said it wasn't right. We're supposed to believe what God says.